Hi, today is June 21st, 2024, and my name is Junie. Welcome to the Theta Gang podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm literally just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. I share my trades, system, and experiences all for free. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/junie. There's no sign up required. And email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday, at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. One really quick message. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my Theta Gang journey 5 years ago. And it feels surreal that I have now partnered with TastyTrade and I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the Theta Gang referral code. That's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested in joining the chatter and morning hangout. How's everybody doing? What we just heard right now was the very first ad read on the Theta Gang podcast. And it's huge because I'm now a TastyTrade partner and I feel so grateful, so thankful, and so privileged to help promote their platform, but at the same time also get compensated for it. I've always said in the past, you know, if you're a longtime listener, that I'm never going to advertise anything on the podcast that I don't use. And a part of why I might tell you guys to go to Twitch all the time is that you get to actually see me trade. I don't hide any of my trades. You can see all the trades that I make. And you see me actually in TastyTrade trading. I have traded with TastyTrade for the last 5 years. So this, you know, this partnership makes so much sense to me. And I couldn't feel more proud to be able to represent TastyTrade and be a partner with them. So if you'd like to help support, please consider using the Theta Gang referral code when signing up, or you can just look in the description of the show notes and you could see a sign up link there below. Thank you. All right, and moving on to talking about the new thetagang.com website updates. I haven't done this section in quite a while, but the newest updates as of maybe like this week is a search bar upgrade. So the search bar on the website, you were only able to really look at stocks if you typed in the symbol of the stock, but now you could type in the company name and find the stock that you're looking for as well. And then now you can leave a comment or a emote slash or reaction, however you want to call it. But you could leave one of those on a trade that is open. And when the user closes that trade, you'll get a notification when it closes. And I thought that was really cool. Then I added a new sad emote slash reaction that you could leave on people's trades, and that's the sad Pepe hands, which I thought was kind of cute. And you can now view bar graph stats on other users' profiles, where before you were only able to see that bar graph stat on your own profile, but now you can see on other people's profiles. So it gives you a better bird's eye view on just like how they're trading or what they're trading as of recent. In terms of a status report on my 5K portfolio, it's now trading at around like $7,800 as I'm speaking right now. For the week, it's barely moved. It's trading flat. It's up about $9 from last week. And I could very much say the same about my main portfolio as well, my like 350K portfolio, or my 300K portfolio with like 54K worth of gains on it. It's really traded flat, both my accounts, and I think it's just a similar style in how I like to just buy stocks and write covered calls. Right now, at this current moment, I don't know if it's like the best idea to write cash secured puts, but that's going into a little bit of today's episode, so I'll just kind of wait to talk about that in just a few minutes. But for right now, just status update-wise, both of my accounts are beating the market. Very green, But trading flat from week to week compared to last week. If you'd like to see the numbers in real time and see me actually trade, again, you can go to twitch.tv/realthetagang and ask me questions, see my profit loss on both my 5K and 300K portfolio. And just before we hop into today's episode topic, I want to just quickly give a June-y temperature check on where the market is. I think there's a little bit more shakiness in sort of the posts that I've been reading. The market has been trading pretty volatile the last week, even though both of my 5K and 300K accounts are pretty much flat week over week. The market has gone up and down considerably just because, you know, it's election year. There's a lot of volatility in the market right now, especially with like all this AI hype. You know, people are quick to take profits, to go in and all that good stuff. For the last, I'd say like 6 months, for however long this year has been going on, I feel like Nvidia has been helping a lot of people be very green for the year, including myself. I trade Nvidia pretty heavily. I trade Nvidia heavily right now. I have 400 shares of Nvidia as I'm talking about this. And we're now experiencing some of that volatility that Nvidia is very accustomed to. Now, there's a lot of newer investors in Nvidia now, just because, you know, AI is pretty general and, you know, it's a very big hype keyword that gets the attention of just like the general public. I think prior to ChatGPT becoming more popular, I think Nvidia was a little bit more under the radar in terms of like just like stock portfolio and just like how many people had in their stock portfolio. But now that we see people picking up Nvidia on their own accord because maybe they got a little hyped about AI, we're starting to see posts about people worried that Nvidia will correct a lot. And that is true. Nvidia is known for giving massive gains, but, you know, given the wrong time, the wrong trade type, it can also give you massive losses. I think just now this week, we've really started to start to experience some of the shakiness, especially post-split, that 10-to-1. Even after the 10-to-1 split, it had continued to go up. But now this week, we have seen some days of Nvidia correcting and going downwards. So we don't know if the downtrend will continue next week, but we can trade in ways that will enable us to not lose our shirt, right? We don't have to go all in on puts. You don't need to time the bottoms. You don't need to time the tops. Just trade in a way where, you know, try to replicate Warren Buffett a little bit. What's wrong with buying a share here and there? Or, you know, a couple of shares. It really just depends on how big your portfolio is or how much cash that you have. But slowing down and making sure that, you know, you're never betting in one direction too much will save you a lot of money in the long run. Nvidia is very enticing because the premiums on it are so huge, even from the sell side. Because right now it's kind of hard to find a decent amount of premiums on some of the better stocks. Like, I say better, but that's very subjective. But I think Costco is a great stock and Microsoft is a great stock, but they don't pay you all too much for selling puts on them, or covered calls rather, either. So when it comes to Nvidia, expect the volatility and trade like the volatility will happen. Expect that, you know, if you do write a covered call, it will be assigned because maybe there's a jump in price. Especially if you write a cash secured put, I think you have to more than ever expect that it will be assigned. I think the market's just now showing some shakiness when it comes to Nvidia, and you have to be willing to take that risk. I think right now there's just too much volume being traded on Nvidia, and there's just too many people just trying to take profits and try and navigate that 10-to-1 share split that everyone got a hold of. Okay. So moving on to today's podcast topic, I found a question from Theta Gang, the R Theta Gang subreddit, and it reads, anyone else finding it difficult to stay engaged in selling premium in this current market environment? And then it reads, I mean, all of my trades are making money, but not a lot for the risk that I feel I have to take. I am primarily continuing to make trades just to stay engaged with the market and the premium selling process, so that when and if it ever becomes better for premium selling, I will be ready to take advantage of it. All right, and I have a I guess a few things that I'd love to bring up. Last week, if I had read this question, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, selling NVIDIA and selling AMD, selling Costco, maybe selling some other cybersecurity stock along with Palo Alto. I'm finding enough premium. But seeing that, like, over maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks, my accounts have been growing as well, but definitely not as fast as earlier on in the year. And so maybe we're starting to see some of the the hotter stocks start to stagnate a little bit, which is okay. We don't want stocks to just keep going up in a vertical line. But it's going to be more important now than ever to make sure you're getting enough premium when you're selling a contract. Enough premium, though, is subjective. I think when it comes to finding that number where, you know, you get paid enough for that covered call where it makes sense, or you get paid enough for that cash secured put that it makes sense, or you get paid enough for that put credit spread, that short iron condor, whatever have you. It's subjective, and I think that as long as it makes you happy enough to go in at that price, it really shouldn't matter to anyone else. If everyone else is feeling like, oh, you know, I'm having trouble finding prices that make sense for me, it's subjective for them too, right? They think that maybe receiving $70 for a short iron condor is not enough, or maybe I think it's maybe not enough either. Maybe I'm looking for 90, but maybe they're looking for 120, you know? And that will never escape you, because people are emotional and people like talking about the market and people talking about their fears is a common thing. It's like how we bond, you know, it's how humans interact with each other. We like express our desires, our fears with each other, and we try to come up with solutions and bond over them. This will never go away. The market just now, maybe like in the last week or so, has, again, I've mentioned before in the podcast, has shown some shakiness. There's some, you know, chance that, you know, SPY and QQQ might actually be going down very soon. And that's not to say like, oh, you should try to time it with puts. It's just, you know, a fact that SPY and QQQ can't just keep going up in a straight line, or else that's not sustainable. But, you know, as we start to experience this shakiness, people are going to be more and more scared to take on assignments from, say, like cash secured puts. Personally, when I read stuff like this, when, you know, people are saying, oh, I can't find a good deal on premium, man, I can't find any good trades, I hear that during the entire year. There are always people that will say that. That will always exist. It's just when maybe the market has gone up for a good while and then it's starting to look a little weak, then you just see like a bump in the numbers of how many people might talk about how hard it is to find trades. Just because finding trades was so easy in like the last maybe a few months, now we're getting a little scared. So people are becoming a little bit more antsy, probably want to go a little bit more into cash, you know, maybe sell off and realize some profits. At the very end of the day, you got to just make sure that you're continuing to do what works for you. And looking back at my trades right now, me being up 54K on my 300K portfolio, so that puts 54 divided by 300, I'm up 18% for the year. And I still have about 200K of my 300K portfolio invested right now. It's not like I'm like searching to the earth's core, the depths of the earth's core, to find a deal that works for me. I'm able to find them. I'm able to find trades that work for me. And a tip that I would love to pass on to you guys is, if the price of a support, or like maybe you look at a chart in Robinhood, you know, just going with the most simple example I can say, because, you know, you're probably driving and I don't want to distract you. But if you just imagine like a Robinhood line, and you say, you know what, if the price goes down to that point in the line because you see a support maybe, then you'll be happy with entering at that price because it's better than buying the stock right now. I think that type of mentality is really important to have right now, because while I could probably say that's a good mentality to have all the time, that's the mentality that I had in the beginning of the year, Had I had a more bullish tone to my thesis of how I traded, I would have made more money. I would have beaten the market even more. But my strategy right now is where it shines the most in this type of environment, where it starts to become shaky and I start to really just focus on me and my cost basis that I really want to get in at. So it's this like grounding of getting in at prices that I'm happy with that allows me to continue trading. Something that I would advocate sort of against for is going all, the thought of like going all cash, because that introduces some aspect of timing. And, you know, there's always going to be some level of timing in the stock market for sure. It's like even your dollar cost averaging introduces some element of timing. But when you purposefully go all cash, you are really susceptible to either under trading or over trading. It's just a lot of pressure builds up when you go all cash. If you sort of maybe come up with a system where you can trade more predictably, more reliably, you know, maybe make your trades smaller but continue trading over time, that is, I think, better than ever going all cash. The fear is I want to keep the cash on the side so that in case if there's a big dip, I'll go in. You know, I have a lot of cash to do that. But the chances are that that big, huge dip will probably not happen. But then let's play devil's advocate for a sec and let's assume that it does happen. Who's to say that that dip that you buy is the dip dip? Well, what if it dips seven more times after that, right? And then now you're playing this guessing game of, oh man, do I put in even more as this is going down? Do I gotta do this? You're just basically stuck in the same place that you were when you were scared of the dip in the first place. So we have to come up with some strategy, and it's gonna be different for you, it's gonna be different for me. We have to come up with some strategy that enables us to have the most well-rounded performance for the entire year. And a part of that is going to be less timing, but more consistency. We want to trade maybe smaller, but the same strategy, or maybe possibly a different strategy when some other macro numbers change, you know, yield curve inverts, all this sort of stuff. Maybe we wait for those and we do a different strategy then. But having it more system-based, I know it gets scary sometimes, and the very first thought occurs, especially if you're newer to trading, because you know you think it's like sort of normal, but you have the tendency to want to think, oh, I'm gonna go all cash and take a break and enter when the market crashes. You miss out on so much opportunity cost when that happens. You can imagine how many people during this entire year, because you know, again, SPY has had an incredible year this year. SPY is up, I think, 15%. Let me just double check on that. Yeah, year to date, 15.37%. You know, I bet you when SPY was up maybe like 10%, people were like, there's no way it's going to go higher. It has to correct. Like, why would it correct? The economy is so bad right now. You know, people are getting laid off, unemployment, all this stuff. Hey, but it went up another 5%. Who's to say that the market won't go up another 5%? Maybe the market goes down 5%. No one knows. And that's how I would love for you to trade, is don't assume that something bad will happen, but don't also assume that something big will happen. Find a way to trade that can make you be more consistent. How do you execute what's already working at maybe a smaller scale? Or how can you introduce newer strategies that enable you to continue trading without going all cash? There's an answer to the original question. Again, the original question being like, is anyone else finding it difficult to sell premium in the current market environment? This user down here says, nope, this market is really not conducive for option trading, low volatility, but high downside risks. I stopped selling puts since at least end of last year and just keep it in SWVXX for now. This comment is probably, you know, the main example of, you know, what I just talked about, is like you miss out on a lot of opportunity cost. While this person's thesis could be true that there's low volatility, you know, in general, and that there are higher downside risks, they missed out on a lot of gains. If you didn't sell puts during the first half of this year, you straight up missed out on, I think, you missed out on 15% of growth from just SPY, you know, and you typically sell puts on companies that are even higher volatility than the SPY, because, you know, personally, I don't think SPY is worth writing cash secure puts on, but that's my own opinion. So, you know, the returns on that would be even just bigger had you wrote cash secure puts. But you can see how this mentality can be, it could be contagious too. You know, I'm sure that they're telling other people like, oh, I stopped doing this, you know, because I think the market is going to go down, or I think the market's overpriced. If your friends think that the market's overpriced, you're probably going to think that the market's overpriced, and it's going to probably influence how you trade. But this example is a very clear-cut example of why selling puts is a good thing, even in times when markets do go up, because it does allow you to get in at a lower cost basis than if you just buy it straight up right now. Like, instead of just buying 100 stocks right now, why not just sign up to buy it at a lower cost at a later time? You know, that's the sales pitch on cash secured puts. But just again, you know, we don't want to be in a mode where we're trying to time everything to the T. Like, you know, like blatantly stopping a certain strategy that has worked, because 2023 was also an amazing year. I made some really good gains, about $87,000 in gains last year in 2023. And I said, you know what, I think that the strategy is continuing to work. I see no reason to stop. And so I just kept on doing it, which included cash secure puts, which is the time when this person in the comment section stopped. So don't stop what's currently working. Maybe modify your strategy to where maybe you do it a little bit less, you know, as time goes on. But stopping it wholesale, especially like going all cash or going into some derivative that's similar to cash, is really, really not good in the long run, because it introduces just a lot of human error and timing when, you know, trades like theta gain style trades need to be done over a period of time, and you need to get a consistent amount of trades in to make the probability of profit numbers make sense. So try to be consistent. There are times when going all cash is good, but it requires, again, like a very strict timing and a lot of luck, which is not my forte. I'm really bad at timing, and I'm not that very lucky in the stock market. So when it comes down to it, you know, going all cash in 2022 would have been a great move, but you would have needed like profit levels of insight to be able to go all cash and stay all cash for the year of 2022 without like buying the first, second, or third dip, because it kept on dipping maybe like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, 15th time in a row. So just think about that. Just think about how much more timing needs to go into going all cash, or, you know, timing when the market will go down, instead of just continuing to do what's already working. I think a lot of people that are listening to this are very up. You're very green for the year. At least you should be, because SPY is doing so well. Your own portfolio should be doing just as well or even better if you're taking it into your own hands. So as you read more and more of these posts about like, oh, people are having a tough time finding a trade, people think the market's too high, people think the volatility is too low, if it's been working for you, it's been working for you, and you should continue doing it until you think otherwise. There's another comment here that I really liked. It's a very short one. They agreed with, you know, finding it difficult to sell premium in this current market environment. They reply 100%. A huge everything bubble is difficult to navigate. And I agree. I actually agree with this a lot. And I think that with all this AI hype, it has been quite hard to stay as motivated to trade NVIDIA and AMD, because now I kind of feel like that Wall Street Bets effect, where if you see your stock on Wall Street Bets, kind of like, it's kind of scary. Like, you just know that there's a lot of other people trading it now too, and there's this like little oogla boogla, or this like little superstition that I have, where if too many people trade this certain thing, I think it is susceptible to a bigger correction. But, you know, this is the time and place where maybe, you know, relying on your bread and butters, and by that I mean the stocks that have been working for you up until this point, is good. I think right now is not the best time to look for newer stocks to trade, although that's like pretty consistent just with like the stock market in general and how people get clicks and what people are interested in. People are always looking for that next big thing. But again, just staying consistent, being able to do what you've been doing for this year, especially if you're green, relying on the stocks that have given you these amount of gains, but you know, trading them at a lower volume might be a good idea. While, you know, the AI hype and bubble is here, I think the first companies to really get impacted are the ones that are not NVIDIA. I'd say, like, if anything's AI related, you know, that's on a smaller scale, I think people would exit out of those faster than they would NVIDIA. Though NVIDIA, very susceptible to, you know, some sort of like big dip as well. But just be careful picking up newer stocks that are very AI focused, for example, right? Like, you're already doing so well by choosing a newer company. You introduce more risk to a portfolio because you have to understand how it trades and just get used to, you know, just trading that ticker for some time. But yeah, I'd say that that's another thing to look out for, is just trade what's familiar right now, especially in times when you are becoming more scared. Maybe you're not scared to death right now of the market, but when you're becoming more scared, you feel like the market's getting more shaky, this is probably not the time to look for newer stocks. And one last comment here. The user writes, it's not that difficult. Define your stop losses, put in some basic hedges, and you can still make money. I agree the premiums are lower, but I'm not going to just sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Some guy said he stopped selling puts 6 months ago. How's that looking in hindsight? What if we go another year without a crash or big corrections? One of the reasons traders underperform is due to fear. If you set up your trades in anticipation of loss, there is nothing to fear. I thought this comment was the most accurate one from, you know, my own view and opinion and perspective. I'd rather play and get things a little bit wrong than do nothing. Like, I'd rather lose a little bit of money trading than actually just keeping my cash like still. That's like a mentality that I have personally. And this person does reflect on the first comment that I had read about the guy that stopped trading cash secure put 6 months ago, because again, the market has gone up like 15% since then. So missed out on a lot of gains there. Had you made the gains, you'd have a little bit of buffer to continue trading. That's also another thing that I guess I forgot to even talk about, is I'll quickly touch on it here. If you make gains on the way up, it gives you buffer on the way down. Assume that your strategy will work, because I don't know a single person that comes up with a strategy, puts it into action, that thinks that it will lose them money. Assume that your strategy will work, and if it does, keep doing it, and you will eventually grow a buffer where when it's time for you to think about going cash, or you know, start selling off your position for a profit, slowly into cash, not going to all cash, you have that buffer to stay in and stay invested while you can potentially watch your money grow, or you can continue just taking profit off the table, right? That choice is really cool, but it's really only possible if you continue making money, aka executing your strategy. I also like how this user offered like a question, and that like they asked, what if we go another year without a crash or a big correction? And it just, there's so much opportunity cost lost if, you know, you trade with so much of this fear that you have, which they allude to in this next sentence of one of the reasons traders underperform is due to fear. If you set up your trades in anticipation of loss, there is nothing to fear. That actually has a lot of parallels with how I trade. And one of the first things I look for when I'm opening a trade is like, what support do I want to get in at? And I'll make my cost basis or my break even for my cash secure puts around that area. Or, you know, maybe I do a buy right with the same break even. Whichever strategy I choose, I do assume that the stock will go down. And that helps me a lot. In reasoning that like, oh, I could be buying at the top, but you know, I want to get my money invested. And I feel like this type of mentality can help a lot of people trade, especially during times like this, because I feel like this is where that type of thinking excels. I think earlier in this year, I think that type of thinking is a little bit too defensive. I was a little bit too defensive in the beginning of this year when I could have been more up right now. But being the market, keeping up with the market, I'm very thankful. So I won't complain too much. But you can see that, like, without some sort of plan, like going all cash or doing something really drastic, like all of a sudden, like right now, even after the market has gone up so much, so well over the last 6 months, it's a little abrupt. Who knows? Maybe this episode could be the top of the market. You guys and girls listening to this podcast know that I say that a lot. I say that so much, so often on this podcast, where the market has just continued to go up from those podcast episodes. So I'm just saying it now again. This could be the very top of the market, and the market could go down for the entirety of how we live. But the chances of that are lower than average. So while going all cash right now could be a great idea with some impeccable and very lucky timing, there are alternatives to stay invested. And that's about it. You know, I'm sure some of you are wondering what some of these alternatives can be to stay invested. I offered a few already. I've said that, you know, maybe you continue doing the strategy that works, but maybe reducing your position sizing to decrease the amount of money that you can lose if the market does correct is a possibility. For those that are green for the year, that are keeping up with the market or beating the market, you have a little bit more buffer to stay invested, or a little bit more buffer to keep your position sizing at a higher level. But, you know, you tailor that. This idea of staying invested is different for everybody. Like, you can maybe, instead of doing cash secured puts all the time on NVIDIA, maybe you start dollar cost averaging into NVIDIA via shares. Maybe instead of writing out the money cover calls, you start experimenting with being at the money, so that way you collect a fat amount of premium on the way down. Or you just exit with green in case the market does go up, again, with a good amount of premium. There are so many ways to look at this, and it's going to depend on your own situation. If you'd like some input from me, not financial advice, but, you know, and some input, some opinion on where you are, you can shoot me an email at juni@thetagang.com, but I would much rather have you join the Twitch stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where you can ask your question and you can have chat's input as well. It's a good time. People come in there all the time with all different types of questions, and there's so many helpful and nice people willing to help and give their own input too. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to go into my outro, and yeah, just so stoked to be able to deliver you this podcast today. And it's just a really nice day out. I feel like the vibes are super good, and just the hearing people wanting to go all cash is a little bit of a bummer, but I do hope that you can find the solution that works for you, and hope to see you guys next time. Thank you. From what started as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with tastytrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on tastytrade, you can see the show description for my referral link, or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up, to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGang. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the website, podcast, and stream full time, and is my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full time, and my focus on providing the best possible service for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGang if you're interested in helping support. Thank you. Okay, free mic time. As I pull up the patrons that help support me, list on my other computer. Let me log in on the other side. Dude. I am so stoked about this Tasty Trade stuff. It was a long time coming. I've been keeping this sort of a secret on my end, getting all the materials prepped. I had to go a little bit back and forth. It was a amazing process. It's still a process. Whenever, if I ever have to say anything new, I gotta have it like approved, sort of by them, and in terms of like the ad spots. But just like their customer service, their marketing team is amazing. Emily and Nye have been really awesome and just being so understanding and super kind, very communicative throughout this entire process. So I want to give a shout out to them from the Tasty Trade team. I'm trying to buy time as like my computer's like loading and pulling up these patrons' names, but it really does feel like everyone at Tasty Trade is just a really good person. Like, I feel like I'm always being taken care of, and I really wouldn't promote anything that I'm not a fan of. I think in the 4.5 to 5 years I've had this podcast, I've been contacted by gambling websites. I've been contacted by, some other products that, I personally just wouldn't use. So I've never taken up offers on ad space or anything like that. But for Tasty Trade, I use Tasty Trade for my own trading, and I can advocate for them because I personally use it. There's a reason why I use them over any other brokerage, but maybe that's an episode or, some material for later, because I don't want to bore you guys too much. I got more important stuff to say, like the patrons' names that help keep the services alive. I want to give a thank you to Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis88, Expresso Bean, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar22, Bachata Thug, Nala, JPerkins86, LewisBG, Troop947, TWall3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rest of Your Sea Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyra LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major Tecomi Elmo, Averillion, RS Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, Jayford LOL, Danger 10, McFly, Spicy Lemons, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Dillo, Big Dillo. I've been calling him Dillo because Dillo's in the Twitch chat all the time. Lloyd O, Bearded Savage, Dang High, Clutch, Ashok Kabat, Bustin, Justin, Andy V, SWH, JH, Spammy Spam, Arfman, Mememan, Mumbo Rit, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, and Maltman 1856. Whew, yeah, just a huge thank you. I don't know how to express just how good I feel right now. Doing this full time is cool. And even when I wasn't doing this full time, there'd be like, there's peaks and valleys, right? Doing a side project on your own, especially when other people are using it. Sometimes you can get sort of bummed, when there's like a lot of bugs happening, people are reporting lots of bugs, which is also a blessing. It means people care if people are reporting bugs. So I see it as a good thing. But there's times where it doesn't feel as good as it feels right now. Right now is a very obvious high for me, and it feels really good being sort of recognized enough to be able to have a partnership with Tasty Trade. And I want to be the best partner I can ever be with anyone that I partner with. And just thank you literally for everyone, especially for those that listened this far on the podcast. I think these days it's a little bit I wouldn't even say these days. I think it's just always been kind of hard to do things on your own, especially things that maybe you've never done before. Like, for example, I've never really had a successful idea take off besides Data Gang. I got very lucky. I was very persistent. I've had many side projects before that have failed. But DataGang.com is very successful in relation to everything else that I've tried. And I want to be the best software engineer that I could be. I want to be the best podcast host that I could be. I want to be the best streamer that I can be. And right now, I'm just kind of
I'm kind of, you know, enjoying the high that I have right now, in which that, you know, new partnership. I feel like the Twitch stream is doing really well. There's more people now than ever. I'm already working on my next YouTube video. Videos. I'm working on three of them in parallel because I'm creating some similar assets to run on all three. But maybe more information on that maybe on the next podcast episode. But yeah, my mom still doesn't know that I do this full time. You know, it would break her heart knowing that I'm not getting free health insurance from an employer. I don't have a stable paycheck. It would just freak my mom out. And these days, my mom has been also so happy. You know, like my mom is just feeling so much better than she was before. So that just elevates my default mood even higher. I feel like my friends at jiu-jitsu, I see them progressing at jiu-jitsu, but also just like in other aspects. There's this guy named Tony who shows up to my Twitch stream sometimes. Like sometimes I'll like dap him up at class. I'll be like, yo, how was your day? And he was like, yo, how's NVIDIA? I saw that you were trading that today. And, you know, in the back of my head, whenever someone, you know, brings up something that I've done during the day, and then I meet them later on, maybe for dinner, maybe it's one of my friend groups, or in this case, it's jiu-jitsu. It feels amazing. It's like, wow, this person really cares enough to watch some of my stream. This person cares enough to, you know, look at me or like look at me trade on ThetaGain.com. You know, maybe they have a profile on there and they're trading alongside me, and I won't know it. Like, they won't specifically go out their way in the live format to be like, hey, by the way, I'm this person from jiu-jitsu. Oh, hey, by the way, I'm this person from your friend group. They'll just use my website, or they might just tune in, and it's just a really appreciated and a happy surprise when people are like, man, your stream today was pretty cool. My day was good, blah, blah, blah. And we'll just continue conversation. And it in my chest, I'm feeling like, wow, this person like really did tune in. Because, you know, sometimes you might dap someone up and be like, yo, how's your day? It's good. It's great. But, you know, when you notice that someone did something, because I never advertise my stuff or say what I do at jiu-jitsu. Like, I just show up and just try to be, try to have fun. I try to put a smile on people's faces, and it's always a good time. But when I get that hint, it's like, oh, you actually like listen to some stuff I might say like outside of class, or like help support in other ways. It's one of the best feelings ever. I think leaning into that might a little bit too much might be bad, right? Like, you don't want to start doing things for positive affirmation from other people, right? I think ThetaGain.com was so successful and is so successful because it's something that I use and that I want to iterate on, because it's something that I do for me. But sometimes hearing good stuff from other people really, really makes it worthwhile sometimes. I know a friend, his name is Slow. He's starting some hot sauce stuff, and it's always a pleasure like getting an inside scoop on like just how he's doing. And you know, whenever I could support anyone that is in my inner circle, I'll always support. You know, Major has a newsletter called Theta Nerd, and Slow has his hot sauce stuff. And of course, this is like trust built over like years of knowing each other. You know, someone new that I might meet could be starting something new, but it wouldn't be as impactful as, you know, maybe someone like Major or Slow, because I've known them for so long and they supported me in my journey of taking something full time, or, you know, something seriously. You know, I didn't start dating full time until just last year, but they've been with me for so much longer than that, trading during the really crazy times. But I've met a lot of really, really cool people on this journey, and for everyone that does support me on Patreon and enabling me to be able to do this, it's so cool. And then seeing some of the newer people I met, like I talked about Tony from Jiu Jitsu, I just met him like I think this year. You know, I haven't known him for long, but he's lost like 30 pounds since he started. You know, I don't hear many people join Jiu Jitsu to lose weight. Like, that's not typically why people join, but wow, you know, he had to get a new rash guard. You know, it's the thing that you wear on top when you do jiu-jitsu, that tight, dry fit wearing thing. Because he lost so much weight. And there's this like interaction that me and him have where like, I'll notice it and I'll say, dude, you're looking great. You know, you've lost so much weight. And, you know, it's just the biggest smile on his face. It comes up and I'm able to notice and have time and like this like extra amount of appreciation I could give to people. I've always like hyped up people in my life, but now because I don't have like the stresses of like, you know, sometimes I'll go to jiu-jitsu, you know, when I was working my 9-to-5, and my primary reason why I go is to relieve my stress. I had maybe had a really bad day at work, or maybe I was just like stuck in so many meetings and I was getting frustrated. I just want to go to class just to get the frustration out. Now I notice that I'm going to class having a good time and asking people like genuinely, how was your day? You know, what's going on? And I just have more room in my and just like the way that I'm thinking and the way that I'm communicating people to just be more present. I think that's the best phrasing that I could be. I'm more present whenever I'm just with anybody, and I can't just advocate like, hey, everyone should quit their job and try something full time, because that's not realistic. But maybe I can be a source of like this small little inspiration to, you don't need to quit your job, but maybe you can just like consciously choose to be just a little bit more present when you are communicating with people. You know, I think I think that's it. Just be more present. And you know, as I end today's podcast episode, I think Tony and this other guy named Dom, and I think two other people from jiu-jitsu, and it's just so funny when you meet me in person, you probably think that I don't like you. Like, I think some of the four closest people that I met closest with jiu-jitsu now have expressed to me that they thought that I didn't like them at first. But no, I was just probably, you know, just focused on doing jiu-jitsu, and I was just focused on me and all that stuff. But you know, you get to know me in person. I am really open. You know, I crack jokes with you all the time. I just, that was just a funny thing. There's no lesson there. I just think it's funny how people think that I don't like them when I first meet them. It's so funny. I don't necessarily smile all the time. It's like not my default face. But whatever. It's a nice day out today, for me. So I'm probably going to continue the rest of my working day at a coffee shop. Maybe call my parents like while I'm driving there. I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend and, or had a fantastic weekend and have a great Monday morning. Love you guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully, maybe even see you at the Twitch stream again at 9 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/realthetagang. Thank you so much. See you guys later. Bye-bye.